You actually go outside in these things?
What would you prefer? Yellow spandex?
Superheroes. This week. No, this episode. No, wait a second. All right, take two.
Take three.
Superheroes. This episode of Destructomundo.
It's on. It's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports incredible as they seem are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Are they going to imagine all this?
Destructomundo.
Witnesses to the effect that people who acted as though they were in a kind of trance were killing and eating their victims prompted authorities to examine the bodies of several victims. Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating flesh. Repeating this latest bulletin of justice and knowledge from the Cumberland County, soon the medical authorities will hold the murder victims for evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers.
We're on.
We're on and recording, and we're back.
We're back, yeah, from a long, long hiatus.
Just got out of jail.
It's third season. Well, you can't do continuous shows. I mean, you can't just continuously do one week after week without
like
some
work.
Kind of break. Sure. I mean, we had time to plan. We had to build the sets and everything, you know, and record all the special effects. You know, that sort of stuff.
All the new costumes.
As much as we're getting paid.
All the new costumes.
As much as we're getting paid, you figure we would already have done some of these.
That's right. We have to welcome our unpaid, you know, is he our unpaid intern? Is that what
it is?
Oh,
jeez.
Oh,
he's terrible. Oh, gosh.
He's not the intern.
So which of you do I give the foot rub to first?
We have to welcome Jeremiah. Jeremiah, thank you for being a part of this show.
I'm glad to be the poor man's Ted.
The poor man's Ted, even. He's the breeder. You know.
Yeah, Ted got sent to Guantanamo Bay for national health or national security risk. So.
Oh, okay. So you're prisoner or working there?
Yes.
Yes. Indeed.
Oh, yeah. That's
enjoying Fruit Loops and reading the Koran.
Did you say Fruit Loops?
Yeah, they give them Fruit Loops. Apparently that's like the big to-do. Is all the Muslims really love the Fruit Loops. I guess they don't get them over there.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Of course, what we don't tell them is we secretly make them out of pork.
Pork Fruit Loops. I'm down with pork Fruit Loops. They should totally have those on the market.
I don't want pork flavored breakfast cereal.
It doesn't have to be pork flavored. It just has to be pork.
Or even a
fruit
flavored dinner.
Gotta have the pork. So, yes, this is the first episode back on the third season.
The Return of Destructomundo.
We did the Return of the Creature of the Hand of the...
Return of the Curse of the Ghost of the Hand of Destructomundo?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Cluing them in onto one of the lost episodes.
No, we haven't recorded our lost episode yet.
No, we haven't.
Well, I thought every time James didn't push record was a lost episode.
We have had some technical difficulties.
That's just a lost nugget of gold.
Yeah, we totally lost.
That drifted into the ether.
Ted will never know the amount of ribbing that we gave him before we started recording this.
Until you just said something.
First episode about it. Of the new season. Ted is working diligently on his...
Grandmaster Ninja certification.
Yeah, the Denmark guy.
Oh, Count.
What's his
name? You talking about the comic book ad guy?
Count
Dante.
Yeah.
The most dangerous man on earth, or whatever.
Count Dante. He's
the Black Dragon Kung Fu Society.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Count Dante, the deadliest man on earth or whatever. Send in like $9.95 and some box tops or whatever, and you get the book on how to kill people with your touch. Something.
It's totally
something
awesome.
To that effect. But he'll be back someday. But
yeah, he needs to get his study on. Plus he's got a brand new daughter. So congratulations.
And apparently they require some work.
They do. They have to be molded and shaped into female warriors.
Molded and shaped. Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like...
You have to start
like,
them off early, man.
Cut off one of the breasts so she can pull the bowstring back.
Well, do that inking thing to her head. Strap the boards onto her head.
Skull boarding. And wrap her feet. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Ted's going to kill us. We're dead. We're just dead.
Okay. No, we shouldn't talk about that stuff.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a lot to do. Ted will be back. But
he's embracing his Incan heritage. Skullboarding his daughter.
Excellent.
So superheroes. This is the counterpart to our early episode, supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you got supervillains out to destroy the world, of course you have to have superheroes to come and save it. Or inadvertently destroying it. By doing the same.
Well, usually it's actually the other way around, where the supervillain pops up after the superhero.
Explain.
Well, you know, Lex Luthor is playing around in the lab, got a full head of hair. Superman comes in during the lab accident, uses his super breath. Lex Luthor loses his hair and becomes his enemy.
Ah, very good, very good. Yeah, that's true. Dr. Doom.
The Red Hood, small-time criminal. Batman knocks him to a vat of chemicals. Out popped the Joker.
Yeah. Yep.
By a accident, Reed Richards and Victor Von Doom.
Yep, poor Victor.
Yeah, but he did end up with his degree, because he is Dr. Doom, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Indeed, he did stay and get his...
Not his
doctoral. It's almost a requirement of being a superhero is that you end up creating
what does he have a
your best supervillain.
What was his dissertation like? How did Dr. Doom defend his dissertation?
I don't know. It's probably the physics of magic, because he used both, the science and magic.
Yep.
Since his mother was a gypsy.
Oh, that's right. Dr. Doom's mother was a gypsy. Because that's why he didn't side with the Nazis and, you know, all that garbage. Like the Red Skull and Captain America.
Hitler's bellboy.
That's right.
He was a bellboy. He was very efficient at the Hitler stayed at. And
he was a bellboy in a hotel that Hitler was staying at. And he said, I can mold this bellboy into an officer. And they did.
Yes, indeed.
That should be a movie, Hitler's Bellboy.
Dude, if they ever make a Captain America movie and don't have the Red Skull in it.
They did, and it was terrible.
They had the
You
Red
know
Skull
what? I take that back. They didn't make it, so don't look for it.
Okay, I won't.
It does not exist.
Like there are no Highlander sequels.
What? They mean Highlander? What?
No, they're not any.
I heard a rumor they were going to make another one, but I don't think they ever did.
It didn't work out.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
So, like, most superheroes everybody recognizes from comic books, and you have your typical superhero with lots of superpowers, and then you have the ones that are like more like Batman with the, you know, deep seated illness, basically.
You know?
Mental
and
illness
the gadgets.
From Yeah.
What has been dubbed underwear perverts?
Yeah, underwear perverts, right.
Those guys?
Because superheroes, TM.
So, yeah. Now that Marvel owns the copyright and trademarking to the word superhero.
They share it with DC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who do we have to pay for this episode?
I don't know.
Is it like
I'll
a penny every
that.
Time we say the word superhero?
Stop,
you should call the name
of this. We're already, like, we're totally in the hole. What if it isn't a penny? What if it's like a dollar?
Well, the name of this episode is Super Duper Heroes.
Man, that's going to cost extra, dude. They're going to get us for, like, 50 cents.
No, see, we split it. It's Super Heroes.
Oh,
not
super.
Superheroes.
Or how about Sue?
You just said it. Again.
Heroes. Like S U E and then P E R and then
heroes.
These are heroes who are really, really super.
Or you could just use a double O instead of the U.
Super heroes.
Superheroes.
Or S O U P E R.
Oh, in for a penny, in for a pound. iPhone, Microsoft Windows.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're screwed. Stanley's going to be on the phone tomorrow.
Stanley.
I want my money.
The angry phone call from Stanley.
There was an argument between Mego, the old action figure toy line, and Marvel and DC for superheroes, and they ended up settling with Mego, and Mego sold them the, I guess, the rights or trademark to superheroes for $1 a piece.
Really?
Yes, they did. That was the settlement. Marvel gave them $1, DC gave them $1.
And now they own it?
Yeah, well, you know, there's some argument over that.
I didn't know that was the resolution. I saw where Marvel had tried to claim they had created it or something.
Well, that's the comic book buzz.
Yeah.
But that's how it ended up.
So what we're talking about, superheroes possibly saving the world.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Or unintentionally destroying it.
Right.
The theory being that...
Now how do they unintentionally destroy it?
Well, the theory being is since there are superheroes, your normal man doesn't, like, I guess, strive for the stars. Like, why become a volcanologist if every time a volcano is about to explode, Superman goes in and stops it? Why be a seismologist whenever, you know, an earthquake's going to happen and Reed Richards figures out a way of stopping it?
Okay.
Instead of that, you become, like, a plastic surgeon and... Next thing you know, Dr. Doom kills Reed Richards, and every time there's an earthquake, you know, millions of people die.
That's a good point. I never really thought.
But he's not the only... But there's other superheroes.
Well, that's, you know, in the nonfiction... there's the fiction world and the nonfiction world. We're assuming there are superheroes in the nonfiction world, and that would be one of the detriments.
But we're thinking that in our world, in the extremely small chance that there ever were an actual superhero...
Right.
They would be the only one.
Yes. Or conceivably.
Conceivably.
Or a small, a few of them.
You know, they're not going to be like a whole bunch of them.
Well, I'll tell you one job that does exist in the world of superheroes, and that is a reporter.
There are a lot of reporters in the superhero world.
Lots of newspapers.
Well, there's more news.
There's actually, yeah.
The superheroes create more news. Paris Hilton would be like a 5-minute blurb if... You know, Green Lantern had, like, just saved us from a killer satellite.
Right, or Superman sneaking in his own articles. Clark Kent,
or Submariner threw a bus at somebody.
Yeah.
I love the Submariner.
He's awesome. Great.
Favorite.
He
yeah,
was
Namor's
great.
My
he
favorite.
Was great. Bad attitude.
Oh,
all
yeah,
the time.
He hates everybody, dude.
Filthy pick land
up,
dwellers.
Pick up a bus and throw it at people.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. I could see how that would, yeah, that would be good for... good for the ratings.
Sure.
Yeah. But would you become tired of it? Would you be like, oh, those goddamn super people doing
stuff
again?
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you, like, the first time that traffic was tied up because Spider-Man was fighting Dr. Octopus and you were late to work, you would be really, really mad.
Wonder Woman getting out of her invisible jet.
I don't
not
think I'd get mad about that.
Oh, I got to see that. Oh, yeah. It didn't, it, like, yeah, like Brittany. God, that didn't even look right.
Oh, the big Montana. You know, Arby's should use that picture as, like, advertisement.
Oh, there was the line, and Jeremiah crossed it.
You open the door.
She opens the door, and it's, like, at the
anyway.
Tattoo of the big Montana over it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
But yeah.
I think I just got fired from Destructomundo.
You are totally fired. We're editing you out. Arby's is going to sue us. Yeah. You're being edited out of the rest of
Arby's,
the
Arby's, Microsoft, Steve Jobs.
Placing
Stan
Jeremiah
Lee.
Will be the droid.
Jeremiah Bot 9000.
Who was the robot from Fantastic Four?
Herbie.
Yeah.
It was an acronym, and yeah. I cannot remember what the acronym stands for.
Yeah.
It was like H-E-R-B-I-E.
When they replaced...
We're definitely afraid kids are going to set fire to everything.
Oh, that was great. That
Just
was
funny because most kids are out in the backyard playing with matches that they didn't even get a chance to see the cartoon.
That's great.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's
But I was going to say, like, I've always hoped and just very, very, very much wished for, like, you know, some real costumed vigilante underwear pervert, you know, to show up in the world.
Just
say you
showing
wish
up
you
at the,
could be that.
Oh, I mean, I wish, yeah, I wish I was that fucking crazy. To, like, you know, just sit at home and work out all the time and, like, you know, mold yourself into this fighting machine and then dress up and go out at night and attack people.
What would you do?
I'm honestly, sometimes I'm really surprised that there isn't as many crazy fucking people as there are in the world.
Right.
And how so many of them lack originality to where they have to, like, be inspired to get fucking crazy. You know what I mean? where somebody watch a bunch of, you know, the superhero movies or read a bunch of comics and then decide they're actually going to do it.
Well, it's like Unbreakable.
And
you had the guy that
that's a different sort of thing. Yeah, but
it's almost the reverse of the normal, where the superhero unintentionally creates the supervillain. It's the supervillain trying to create the superhero.
I'm
really surprised that there aren't people like who, you know, get arrested like dressed in some weird outfit out like fighting people out in the streets.
And most of them end up like climbing buildings for men who don't want to pay their child support.
Yeah, but he'd be like that guy, you know, the guy that made the Tron suit that gets all his unitards from the one place. It's like, I get all my unitards from.
Well, it was that guy in England, like that dressed as Batman or Spider-Man and like climbed a building because he didn't want to pay his child support.
He climbed Parliament.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, there was some organization that. I think it's not that he didn't want to pay his child support, it's that he wasn't getting like visitation rights.
Oh, is that what it was?
So he donned the
that would be terrible.
Spider-Man costume and climbed Parliament?
That was Batman, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
That would definitely get your kids back.
Yeah, it's like, how could I get my kids back?
That's cool, man. He dresses up like Batman and
it was like they had a name and it was like Equal Rights for Fathers or something like that.
Oh, okay. So he did it like as a publicity stunt.
Which the Jeremiah Bot 9000 fully supports.
Which
is a poor man, Ted Bot 9000.
Ted Bot 9000 is very expensive to maintain.
Are we going to get sued by the makers of Ted Bot?
Ted might be working on a lawsuit.
No, he's
here.
A lawyer now. Oh, yeah, man.
Ted is working on
a lawsuit. Ted is a fine gentleman.
But I was going to say, I'm surprised there isn't that sort of, that there really isn't more of that. Like people really, you know, thinking that they're capable of being the costumed crime fighter, whatever you want to call
it. Right.
Them.
I mean,
because that sort of self-made.
Well, are there superheroes out there?
Well, I don't think a unitard necessarily is the best costume in the world.
But I mean, those people aren't technically like. In a way, you know, they don't have superpowers. Those are the sort of the self-made ones, you know.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, they're certainly in the comic books. You know, they are heroic and everything, but they don't have superpowers. But you know, as far as the possibility of actually, you know, who knows? I mean, super.
The only person I could think of that could maybe considered as a superhero, I guess, if you're a Giants fan, would be Barry Bonds. Chemically altered human being can do more than any other human being at his profession.
Got a point.
You know, he's the only guy to hit more than 70 home runs, about to have more home runs than anybody ever. He's playing baseball with his knees basically are bone on bone, which is like, you know, it's hard to do if you just like, you know, are going to work and working in an office, much less playing baseball.
Sure.
And he's, you know, he's more than a human because of the things that he's done that have been done to his body, kind of like Captain America.
Man, what a prick!
Yeah, that's the difference. You have to
but
be.
He
like
doesn't
a
have like
fan.
Laser vision, or
well, no, yeah, but he's stronger and faster than a normal human being.
He's not really that fast.
There's people that
used
are faster.
To be yeah. Before
I
the
know
knees
some.
Went.
I know some augmented ladies. And they're chemically altered.
I was going to say, do fake breasts count as a superpower?
Yeah, a good number of strippers I know are augmented and chemically
you figure
altered.
You'd have to do something to your brain to have mind control, but actually all you have to do is get bigger boobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can control men.
But yes. You do...
And defy gravity.
If you do go crazy.
And float.
With great power comes great responsibility. When you can't handle it, you know.
Stripper girl is totally nuts. But she has augmented breasts and she's chemically altered because she does.
Did you see Stripperella? I think that's what it was called.
No.
It's like Pamela Anderson is like a superhero who was a stripper.
Oh, that cartoon?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, surprisingly enough.
But it was drawn together with all like the superheroes and stuff. That was good. I like that.
That's good. So who is the first superhero?
The first superhero? I don't know. I'm guessing somebody probably like Superman.
Well, you could sort of take it back to like...
Do you think you could make it Gilgamesh?
Yeah, Gilgamesh or...
Yeah, Gilgamesh.
Heracles Achilles.
Yeah, okay. Good point.
Of course, that's in our world. In the fake world, the first superhero would be Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman. Dude, Captain Caveman is totally awesome.
That's the life, riding around in a van with three hot girls.
Hell yeah. Being all hairy, letting it all hang out, stick. Not wearing clothes. We got a club that with a bird that lives inside of it. And was, all kinds of stuff.
Excellent. Axel Hill or Charlie Manson?
I know, Captain Caveman could have had, he does. He's got his own cult. Just Charlie Manson needed a club with a bird that lived inside of it.
It was a great, great cartoon.
Oh, I loved it.
It was the glory days of the early 80s when...
That cartoon used the accordion hinge like no other cartoon.
That Saturday morning cartoons were just—it was a free for all, man. You could just put anything.
Oh sure, yeah, and of course,
Blue Falcon and the Dynamite.
And you know what they did? The Blue Falcon and Dynamite was a great cartoon, but then they made it all edgy. Did you see the really edgy Blue Falcon and Dynamite?
When it tried to be straight, it was like a straight
It was like fully like dark and weird, and you're like, Dynamite is like kind of dark, and he had like glowing eyes and stuff like that. He's like a robot dog.
Man, it was
that,
crazy,
you know, could kill.
Yeah,
I totally dig that. That's awesome. Yeah, but Blue Falcon and Dynamite, but then there was the straight ones too, you know. There was the top of the line, Super Friends, man.
Super Friends. Like I was telling the fellas earlier, as soon as the theme song would come on as a child, I'd wear my Flash Funderoos and run around the couch as fast as I could.
Oh, yeah.
Completely convinced I was breaking the speed of sound.
But, man, they had some, there was some bad, Apache Chief.
Apache Chief. And
have you seen the Harvey Birdman with Apache Chief on?
And he put people on top of things.
But, the way they were like, they had all those like filler characters within the Super Friends and the Legion of Doom were like, so they could all like have their exact counterpart, you know?
If you were of a
samurai
race, you had to be the... You had to be the stereotypical version of your, of your race.
I don't know. Black Vulcan wasn't really the stereotypical.
No,
black,
but then you had Apache Chief.
That was pretty bad.
It could have just been an Apache without having to be Apache Chief, you know. And then
who was completely made up for the Super Friends
and Samurai, Japanese guy.
Another one.
All Asian people knew martial arts.
And Black Vulcan, all three of them were completely made
up. Yeah, I
was
gonna say that's
what
I mean. That's what was so bad about it is there was like those really cheesy, and then they all it was bad. Just everybody had, but it was so lame because everybody had their exact,
What's the thing?
Like Aquaman had the Black Manta,
Yeah, that's right.
Green Lantern had Sinestro, and everybody
Sinestro.
Had
Sinestro,
the guy with the yellow ring. I mean, they all had their perfect
cheesy like villain mustache.
He had the little
kind of looked like a purple David Niven.
But the ultimate opposite, of course, is Bizarro.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
Bizarro.
The exact opposite. Me and Bizarro.
Bizarro's the coolest ever.
It's good stuff.
I don't know. Solomon Grundy's up there.
Solomon Grundy, what pants do? That is my favorite commercial.
That's the thing is like they completely made people up for the Super Friends, but the Legion of Doom were all comic book characters. They didn't make up a single one of those.
All the Legion of Doom was made up of real
of
actual
ones
characters
that were actually in the comic books.
There wasn't Gleep, the monkey.
Jan Zena, Marvin, Wendy.
Marvin, Wendy, and Wonder Dog.
Wonder Dog.
Marvin, Wendy, the Wonder Teens.
The Wonder Teens.
Marvin, Wendy.
Book with them in it.
Marvin and Wendy and Wonder Dog. Oh, man. That's the one where they... I remember the one where they go back in time, and it's like Gorilla Grodd, and somebody goes back to Rome.
Yeah.
And they're getting all the treasure from Rome, and then like Batman and Superman... They come back in time to try to catch him, and they're like chasing him through time, and it was good stuff.
Gorilla Grodd is awesome.
I just remember the scene of them like in like ancient Rome, and it's like
chariots.
It's Gorilla Grodd and
was it Captain Cold?
I'm not sure, but I can see them with like in like
Captain this, Cold. Wow, that's a
Leonard Snart, Flash villain.
See, I don't know all this
Leonard Snart.
I don't know all this DC stuff, so
I'm so bad. I know, I In my defense, I worked at a comic book store for a couple of years. So.
Yeah, Jeremiah is wearing a fetching Aquaman t-shirt this evening.
Arthur Curry. Yeah.
The Golden Age Aquaman. The
Silver Age, actually.
Silver
Age. Kind of like that Justice League satellite era.
The gauntlet gloves and the whole deal. Remember when they, like, up, you know, in Aquaman.
When they tried to make him cool with the long hair and the hook.
The long hair and the hook, and it made him gay. And you're like, oh, my God.
Still not cool.
I mean, it's the writer's fault. I mean, if he can survive under like pressure in the ocean, he's obviously really strong and nigh invulnerable, and he can do the stuff with the fish and all that other kind of stuff. But
he sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, he sleeps with the fishes.
I like the cartoon version where he rode around on the seahorse with Aqualad.
Aqualad.
That was good.
That was great. Extra super gay.
That was another thing. What was the deal with the whole...
And
the young versions, because there were a lot of them in comic books.
Well, that
you
was...
You had, like, Batman and Robin, of course.
The theory was you would at the birth of comic books, that you sold comic books to boys, and boys like to imagine that they are in the comic book,
right?
And to make it easier for them to imagine it, they gave guys kid sidekicks,
right? Superman had his
Supergirl buddy. And Superboy.
Supergirl, Superboy. So actually, Superboy was
Superman.
Superman as a younger age.
No, Jimmy Olsen
until the modern
Jimmy
age.
Jimmy Olsen is kind of Superman's sidekick.
Yeah, that's Superman's like young man sidekick.
Right.
His
you had Bucky with
boy,
Captain America.
His boy toy.
Well, that's what was it? Freakin'? Was that his name? That wrote Seduction of the Innocent. Which,
well, remember the cartoon version, the Green Lantern that had the little Venusian boy that rode on his back? When he
flew around? What was the deal with
the little blue-skinned Venusian boy with pointy ears that rode his back when he flew around? Wow, that was not at all gay.
I can't remember that character's name.
I love the ambiguously gay duo, dude.
That's great.
But
what are you all looking at? Nothing! They dress as one of them's dressed as like the Indian chief from the Village People, and the other's the biker, and they walk into the Irish bar called O'Heteros. Why are they yelling at us? The Native American has a long way to go.
Assless chaps on.
Yeah. O'Heteros. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Well, yeah, with the Super Friends, at least you had like counterparts. There were always somebody that they had to defeat.
Well, it's kind of the nature of the superheroes that
opposite. I was going to say like that where
right.
you're
which is
sort
why
of
why
like,
this episode is so important to the counterpart of the supervillains. Yeah.
But I mean, I was going to say like the outside chance, slim possibility of like there ever being a real superhero. Like, there's probably only going to be one. There's not going to be, like, a bunch of them, you know?
Well, you don't have your mutant ability.
No, I was going to say, like, the thing with, like, the Watchmen, where, like, they're all underwear perverts. And then when Dr. Manhattan is created, suddenly there's a real honest-to-God super being on Earth. And then, like, the rest of them are made obsolete.
Yeah.
Because you don't need guys in funky outfits beating people up in the streets. Because there's this guy that can teleport and fly and, you know, do all this stuff. But he's like this suddenly. And that's that sort of thing. What I was going to say is, like, I could see the possibility of it, of there being costumed vigilantes. And I'm frankly surprised there aren't more of them, considering how many fucking crazy people there are in the world.
Right.
But I was going to say, if there ever were, like, by some strange chance, you know, whatever, the lab experiment gone wrong, whatever, some actual person gets some sort of superpowers, they would, you know, that they would probably be the one and only actual super being.
Like when the Family Guy, where they all get superpowers, and like, and Lois, let's see, Peter can turn into anything. Lois is like super speedy, and no, Brian's super speedy, and I forget what Lois can do.
That was interesting.
But then
I saw this one episode of the show, and I kind of remember some of what happened.
I can't remember.
There's that episode
on
show.
The show. But yeah. Everybody gets a superpower, but Meg's fingernails can grow like long. That's it.
Well, I was gonna say like if there were like some person that, you know, whatever, got superpowers in some way. Obviously, there's no guarantee they're going to be good, you know.
Well, yeah. And
so I was going to say, like,
wasn't there, like, a guy in the New Mutants that was, like, really good at math? When his name was Cypher or something.
I didn't read New Mutants.
Yeah, it was like the mutant who was like, "Yeah, my mutant powers."
But I've always thought it would
very educational.
I've always thought it would there had to be all those kids at Xavier's school that didn't have cool powers. You know, yeah. They just sat around the house and couldn't do anything.
I can keep dairy products fresh.
The guy that can talk to squirrels or whatever. Yeah. It's this is totally useless. But everybody thinks I'm weird because I don't have any useful powers. But right. I was going to say, but if you had some person and somehow they got superpowers, you know, there's no guarantee that they're, they can obviously go either way with it.
Yeah.
And depending on who they are, whatever, you know. And obviously there's tons of comics based around that very, that person, that the way they're tested by that, in which way they go, to good or evil or whatever.
If they decide to go good, though, they're superheroes.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's but then if they do go bad,
they're supervillains.
But there isn't. But I said, but like there's well, there's there, kind there of isn't a, there isn't going to be a superhero.
Well, that's why there's no arbitrary giving of powers generally. There's no.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you fall in. If the radioactive waste lands on top of you, I guess you could be like pancreatic cancer man. But
and you could go around spreading cancer.
That's the thing.
I can generate.
They
cancer.
All had in that Family Guy episode, the waste truck, the nuclear waste truck, lands in their yard, and then Mayor Adam West goes to defeat them because they're trying to take over the town, and they make them have to. They make the life-size bust from Facts of Life? The
Tootie?
No,
the fat girl?
No.
Joe?
No.
Blair?
Blair.
No.
Mrs. Garrett?
Mrs. Garrett! They make the life-size bust, or they make the giant bust of Mrs. Garrett, and he, changes into her, bust line. And says, "No, the mole's here," but they subject the town, they turn the town into slaves in order to make this monument of Mrs. Garrett, and Adam West says he's going to stop it, and he goes to the nuclear waste dump and rolls around in the waste, and then you see him in a hospital bed, and his doctor says, "Mr. West, you have lymphoma." And that's
your best bet would you might get to turn into the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. Toxic Avenger. Another one, horribly disfigured by the toxic waste, but yet superhero.
So was the mop magic, or did you just hit people with it real hard?
I think he just hit people with it real hard. He's a big guy. Yeah. So a mop in the hands of such a guy would probably do quite a bit of damage. Plus, if you got the mop wet.
Yeah.
With toxic waste.
It's kind of icky.
Yep. And it's heavier.
With toilet water.
It is heavier.
It's like a soft...
Because if it had nasty
hammer.
Toilet water on it, nobody would want to get hit with it.
Yeah. Hell yeah, that's just if you strip naked and if you get in a fight with a guy and strip totally naked, chances are they won't fight you.
More than likely not.
Terrified, you're going to wrestle them. Let's wrestle. That's your costume. Naked guy.
You should just strip down and you look at him like, "Man, I bet you kiss hard. I bet you kiss the hardest." Prove it, man.
You win, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you get a lot of takers for that fight.
No, I don't guess so. Yeah, but then, like I was saying, with the arbitrary giving of powers, you don't really get the people going either way.
I mean,
situations. You have the mutants, mutants, are born with their abilities. And if they're ostracized by society and made to suffer for being a mutant, they can go either way because of that. I mean, like Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler couldn't go out.
Well,
he could have gone either way because, he was totally different. He couldn't hide his mutant abilities.
Yeah.
Blue.
And, Bamf.
Yeah, Bamf. I still love that.
Yeah.
That's another thing superheroes got is great sound effects.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like the ugly ones, the ones
snicked.
The ones that couldn't blend in.
Yeah.
And the ones that can't have a secret identity.
Right.
Yeah, obviously.
But then you have your other ones like Wolverine that, you know, nobody really...
The anti-hero.
Yeah, nobody knows he's a mutant until, like, you try to kill him and then he heals up yeah. right away. Or he pulls his adamantium claws out.
Well, that's not his mutant power, though.
Well,
the healing factor
it
is
supposedly
the mutant power.
Is his mutant power because they took away his claws and then
and he
bones
had claws.
Came
he had, like,
out.
Bone claws.
Yeah,
ah.
actual bones came yeah. out. So,
they grafted the adamantium onto the claws.
Yeah, it was theorized that they made, like, yeah. they were actually...
That
yeah, that's yeah. that happened in the comics.
This is like
that's
late
canon material,
90s,
my
maybe?
Friend.
I don't
canon
know
material.
Yeah, it was, like, right in the big... when they... They had Uncanny X-Men, and then they introduced the X-Men comic book without the Uncanny to go along with Uncanny.
I remember that.
Like the second or third issue, like Magneto pulls all the adamantium out of his body, and it turns out he still has claws. They're like big bone claws.
Yeah, but he didn't realize it right away. It happened like in some kind of like...
And I do believe there is a hologram on the cover of that issue.
I love holograms.
In case you're looking
issues.
For it.
I don't remember that.
Is it holographic? The cover?
Most holograms are.
Awesome!
Not the entire cover. There's like a, almost like the size of a baseball card, like in the, I think,
right.
upper right-hand corner, maybe.
Because it's super expensive.
It's been a little while
holograms.
Since I've read it. Choo, choo,
choo, choo. They have to use lasers.
Lasers.
Lasers?
Yes.
Yep.
Cool. Anything involving lasers is cool.
Yeah. It was the Avengers villain who was the living laser.
The living laser. My favorite villain, I think a cool obscure villain, just totally, because I just thought of this, was the High Evolutionary.
No, that's right. One. And he could, like, bring you up to...
He was one
level.
Of those obscure Marvel villains.
Yeah, the High Evolutionary.
So much of a villain as he was more almost like a force of nature.
Yeah, he was yeah. just one of those weird dudes that was kind
he
of
He did
off
some stuff
his...
to some people and, like...
Well, he was
kind of
like
thing.
The scientist with no, like, I guess rules for
yeah,
using his science.
Yeah.
It was all, like... He was cool.
Well, then there's the superheroes that are accidental superheroes, more or less. Like, not so much accidental, but they use their powers in a neutral way, or they're given powers. Like Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer was the Herald of Galactus. Galactus went stomping around the universe eating planets. He's a really big guy that likes to eat planets. I don't understand that whole deal. I mean, like,
he was that hungry.
But Silver Surfer...
He ate a Chinese planet an hour earlier.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm still hungry. Go find
now
me another
sued
planet.
By the Chinamanese.
Chinamanese. We do have some listeners in China, and I'd like to say hello.
And good luck.
Hello in Chinese to our listeners in China. No, I won't do it.
Oh, anyway.
Oh, that was a holdback.
So what, reboot what, the Jeremiah
bot. What about the Silver Surfer?
Well, he became a superhero by the fact that the Fantastic Four was like, you know, don't eat our planet, be a good guy. And then Galactus was like, well, you can't. Okay, fine. You can't leave Earth. And then they had the whole, like, series of the Silver Surfer where he just was, like, on the planet, you know, surfing around Earth. Which is kind of weak when you think about it. You're like, man, what a way to cut the balls off Silver Surfer.
I mean, he didn't have balls.
That's right. Well, he did not correct. Have silver balls.
He may have had before he got turned into the Silver Surfer.
My balls!
Remember, they just hadn't descended
race.
Yet.
Yeah, he's I'm not sure what race he was.
I remember reading in a comic book that he was in. He had to sleep only because he was supposed to dream, you know, like because it would make him go crazy if he couldn't dream about stuff, you know. And you know, but he didn't need to sleep; like he was indefatigable. There's a word you don't use every day.
The HMS Indefatigable.
Yes.
I believe his name was Norrin Rad on his home
Norrin
planet.
Rad.
Norrin Rad. What a great name.
Yeah, that was a good name.
But he got to
kind
fly
like
around
power.
The universe and on his surfboard.
Yeah.
Apparently surfboards were big on his planet. I don't know.
If I was going to travel through space, surfboard would probably be one of my top choices.
Sure. I mean, if you had to pick something to go around on, other than the Millennium Falcon.
Well, yeah.
Or a jetpack. Jetpack.
Space.
Space.
Ran out of fuel already. This thing doesn't hold enough. Keep got to go to other planets to get some fuel. You have to. You get
Let's
up there.
Get like a fine carpet.
A fine carpet. Fine carpet would be
or the Submariner's ankle wings.
Yeah, that's right. Right, Submariner is apparently he's an Atlantean, so he can breathe underwater. But mm-hmm. but he's
super
also
strong.
A mutant because he has wings on
yes.
his feet.
That's the difference. That's
he's
what
a
differentiates
mutant Atlantean.
Well, he's one of those guys who was initially not really a good guy. He was more of a, but he wasn't really a bad
well,
guy
he's
either.
Namor, Prince Namor.
But I mean, he was introduced as kind of a, you know, he wanted to be down there in Atlantis doing his thing and like just.
Nazis and their
you know. He just like as long as people left them alone, he was okay. And then they kept fucking with shit. And then he came up on the surface and started busting
shit
up.
Well, he was one of the what's it called?
It's one of the first. It's the first big superhero versus superhero battle was the original Human Torch and Submariner, kind of like the fire versus water thing.
Yeah.
So
the original Human Torch was a
android.
Was an android, right? Much like Vision.
And he had a buddy called Toro. A little boy android who would burst into flames. Yeah, I think that's worse than Batman and Robin.
Toro! Come save me, Toro. No, that's terrible.
Okay.
But that's a important part of being a superhero is fighting other superheroes through some sort of, like, you know, accident or misidentification or...
Right, right.
Yeah, it's... But that's what happens before the big team up, is you see each other, you fight, you find out you're both good guys, and then you go fight whoever convinced you to fight.
There is, various battles out, you know, through all of the comic book history. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you had Human Torch.
And Submariner being the first.
And then you had,
well, the most recent, I think, big fight was Superman and Wonder Woman.
Did they actually fight?
Yeah.
Really?
And Wonder Woman held her own.
Well, she couldn't have gotten, like, slapped down, you know, like,
Well,
that
see,
out.
The deal is that Superman's vulnerable to kryptonite and magic, and in essence, she is a magical being.
Oh, okay, so
she... So she, you know, she was able to hold her own.
She had that Atlantean sword, too, that cut him.
Yeah. She actually cut him with her tiara, too. You know, she'd take the tiara off and, like, throw it like a boomerang.
Oh.
Cut him up pretty good with it.
Did she get the lasso out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotta have the lasso.
Tell the truth. The story behind Wonder Woman is pretty crazy. The guy that, like, he was a doctor and made, I can't remember what he did exactly, but he had, we researched this show very carefully. he was kind of like a freaky, like he liked, like, women, and he ran, like, a sanitarium or something like that. And then, but he made like what he was all about bondage, and the magic lasso had to do with like his bondage fetish, and in every comic book in the early days of Wonder Woman, he would have her bound, you know, and she couldn't escape, you know, from her bindings, but she would be like, you know, ball gag straight up, you know, and like you know. Like Todd and everything.
Well, in the Seduction of the Innocent, they also mentioned that Wonder Woman promoted bondage and lesbianism.
Good for her.
And? I think is one of the things that why they introduced
Steve
Trevor.
That's my kind of superhero right there.
Look, there are much worse platforms that you could.
Yeah.
That you could be promoting.
Indeed.
Hmm.
But yeah, you had. As far as fighting superheroes, because that was always the big selling point, was the superhero versus superhero. Because you know they're totally, they're both good, but
they're
yet they're against each other. Why are they against?
And they both
each
have
other?
Completely different powers. Which
and it always ended up in a draw. Like nobody ever really.
Most
won.
Of the time it was a draw. There were times of
Punisher
read a
versus
few,
Spider-Man. I remember that.
There's been a few comic books. I think Superman fought Captain Marvel and beat him up pretty good in a few in a. I think he was possessed by Eclipso.
Batman versus Dark Knight fights Superman.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, there was
there's even been intercompany crossovers where DC heroes have actually fought Marvel superheroes.
Yeah, they did like, that.
Superman versus the Hulk and
Man-Thing versus Swamp Thing.
Oh, I think they just.
I think that took place in court.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was just a dream I had in my head. That was just one of my little fantasies. Which one is that? But you see, is that Man Thing or Swamp Thing? I don't know. They look the same.
Which one is the Guardian of the Nexus? Is that Man Thing? Or
I think that's Swamp Thing, and Man Thing is the one that can touch you and you like see your worst fear or something like that.
Man Thing had all kinds of funky.
They're both just shambling nouns.
Yeah,
basically, yeah, with the carrot noses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Man Thing. Man Thing's got
Man
the
thing
yeah, he's
the,
got
like
the big
the
pickle
thing.
Nose.
Yeah.
I think is what he's got. Swamp Thing was.
Yeah. Big salads.
Do you know those Swamp Thing movies are damn good?
God. Yeah, Adrian Barbeau in it.
Those are good stuff.
Yeah.
And the bad guy from Octopussy.
Louis Jourdan.
Yeah.
Louis Jourdan.
And the great Dick Duroc as Swamp Thing. I don't know what ever happened to him. I don't know.
I remember when he got his arm cut off and like the little stick.
Like the little twig.
Like protruded.
With the two leaves on it. It's good stuff, man.
I made a new arm. It was awesome.
See, that's a guy, you know, that's a guy.
Guy
who's, yeah.
The little pig guy.
And the guy with, like, the octopus head. Yeah. But see, there's a guy, you know, he's a doctor, you know. He's
botanist, I believe.
Trying to do,
yeah,
good, you know.
He was a swamp, like.
Horrible accident, you know, and he gets, you know, turned into Swamp Thing, and then, you know, he could have sat around feeling sorry for himself, you know. Now I'm all, like. You know, living swamp moss,
right?
Whatever, you know. But nope, he saw. You know, now I have an opportunity to do something. You know, I can really make a difference now.
Yeah, but they made him Guardian of the Nexus, like. Later on, because he had
that?
Nothing to do. There was like a Nexus to the
elemental plane of Earth, or
something. Did you ever read Nexus?
And he was,
of what?
Do you remember Nexus? The comic?
I remember Nexus.
I used to read Nexus.
I'm trying to remember who drew
What's
that.
Nexus?
Nexus was an independent comic, like, way before indie comics were cool.
Yeah.
Indie comics are cool?
Well, now they
are. Flaming Carrot, The Badger, Miracle Man, all kinds of good stuff.
But Nexus. Ooh. Nexus was a
That brings us to indie comics, then. And the indie
but Nexus was a guy, he had the...
Which means all the superheroes have really bad haircuts.
Nexus was
a...
Yeah,
and cried a lot.
He had... Like, they called it, like, the... What was it, like the power of the stars or something? But he had like some, you know.
He was almost like a Solar Man of the Atom type.
But his thing was that he like traveled the cosmos hunting mass murderers.
Yeah, it was an interesting comic book.
He was kind of in a line of, you know, sort of like the Green Lantern Corps type of thing.
Yeah.
And like he had become the... You know, the next Nexus after the, you know.
Okay, so there was like a continuation of his role.
But I mean, the comic was this guy, but he was like.
Yeah, but
he was one of
there
many.
Were guys who
was
did
one
a job
of many
previously.
Of,
yeah,
of
yeah.
His position.
But he had become this thing. And,
I can't remember. Was he the only one, or were there other ones?
I think there's only one at one time.
One at one time.
Yeah,
well,
but
Green Lantern, of course, is the same way. I mean, Green Lantern like isn't really a superhero as much as he's like
he's a cop.
He's a cop,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In each. Recently, they've assigned more than one to each sector, but before there was one per sector
in
the universe.
Too, and like killed all the Green
killed
Lantern.
All of them. Of course, you know it's comic books. A lot of them came back. There's actually three human Green Lanterns. Section 2814.
Hal Jordan.
Hal we are Jordan. Sitting right now in section 2814 of the universe. In case anybody's interested.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, and John Stewart.
Yeah, John Stewart killed them all, right?
No, Hal Jordan killed them all.
Hal Jordan killed them all?
Yes. But now, you know, it's... Actually, interestingly enough, the listeners out there, the Sinestro Corps quarterly, or new issue or whatever, came out last week.
Sinestro
and sold out within an hour. That's
really?
The power of Sinestro. Sold out within an hour. I actually had to buy one on eBay for like $9. I was mad.
Wow, that's incredible. I never really thought that would happen in a
to add to the balance, because there were, you know, 5,000 Green Lanterns and one Sinestro.
Right.
Now it's evened up now.
The Sinestro Corps. So Sinestro has, like, the yellow ring?
Yeah. He has the yellow ring.
That's the only thing that the Green Lanterns can't...
Yes.
Anything yellow, they're, like, powerless to affect.
Well, they've changed that a little bit, too. Mostly it's the rookie Green Lanterns that have the problem with the yellow.
They got to change.
Everything changes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Superman originally can only leap over tall buildings in a single bound, but now he can fly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because at the time, they thought somebody flying was ridiculous. But being able to jump over the Empire State Building was perfectly logical.
Thanks.
Of course it is.
Well, yeah.
Or being able to, you know,
why'd they draw him with a cape if he couldn't fly?
I have no idea.
Because it just looked good.
Yeah. He's wearing a cape.
Flash, dude. I mean, it's like style, man. It's, you know.
That's the
flashy styling.
The Seinfeld episode where George's dad is in the scene in the city with
the man in the cape.
The cape, and he's like, "Who wears a cape?" And he's like, "Well, it's good cape weather. It's breezy, chilly."
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you notice a guy in a cape. I mean, there's no way you don't notice a guy in a cape. Right. So.
Well, I mean, as much as a cape is like a really kind of odd thing to have. For most people, wearing your underwear on the outside of your pants is also probably a little strange.
Superheroes and rap stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the whole, like, the tights.
Batman's
the,
got those rims, man. I think that's where that stuff's
You know, right. That whole thing with the
domino
tights.
Mask.
Yeah, there's didn't, a lot of there's a lot of there's a lot of guys
that just kind of like fit.
There's a lot of those guys that are just kind of like in the wrestler briefs.
Yeah.
You know, with like
right.
And well, like, I mean, you know.
Like Circus Strongman pants.
I mean, like, Submariner just had, like, those green trunks.
Right.
You know? he's just raw, except for that. Sure. I mean, he's
and
just.
The thing. The thing were blue trunks.
Yeah. You know, there's just those guys in the trunks.
Everybody's got a six-pack, man. What is the deal?
I mean, they're just, you know.
Everybody's all, like, totally ripped. I mean, even if the,
there've
like,
been very few
to...
comic books where there has been a superhero that was, like, fat. Or
regular,
just completely out of shape.
Like,
I can think of the Blue Beetle for a while.
I can't count
shape,
on one hand anyone I know that has a six-pack set of abs.
Besides me.
I mean, I don't really hang out with a bunch of people.
They can't see this, right?
Yeah. You know, hey.
We're not really like...
Because my house is kind of like the 7-Eleven. It's like new shoes, no shirt, get the hell out of my house.
So
unless you're, you know...
Unless you have wings on your ankles.
Unless you're totally ripped.
Unless you can throw a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you can...
You don't argue that too much.
For some reason, that's the mental picture I have of Namor, is him, like, standing somewhere in New York City with a bus over his head, throwing it at
a couple of cops, like, shooting at him, while it's bouncing off of him.
And he's throwing it at somebody, like, Spider-Man or somebody, like, shut up! And he throws a bus at him.
Does he call them land dwellers or surface dwellers? I can't remember
which. I think it's surface dwellers. It's something like that.
Right.
Surface dwelling scum or something, and he drops a bus on their head. But
well, a couple issues of the Fantastic Four, he would invade New York City with the Atlanteans and try to steal the Invisible Girl.
He should totally invade New Jersey.
Why?
I don't know.
Explain
right
that to
for
me.
Invasion? I don't know.
Is he a big Bon Jovi fan?
There's not much.
Who more represents New Jersey in song? Bruce Springsteen or Bon Jovi?
I would like the romantic in me says Bruce Springsteen, but the realist in me says Bon Jovi.
I think you're right. Yeah.
You get pork roll in New Jersey.
I think Bon Jovi really has touched on like the female aspect of New Jersey.
He's the heart and soul of Jersey.
He really shows you what it's all about.
Yeah. No doubt.
Whereas Bruce
has there ever been a superhero from Jersey?
Kate Courtney Cox on stage with him.
There's had to have been. I'm sure there's at least been one of the X-Men from New Jersey.
Sure.
Well, yeah, there's only 800,000 X-Men.
There's that restaurant
which
in Jersey.
Which brings us to our next subject here on this tonight's episode of Superheroes. Coming up after these messages.
From a spider hole in Arizona, this is the Truth Seekers Podcast. I'm Dani, your host and legend in her own mind, and I invite you to join me as I search for truth in audio form. Each episode, I will bring you headlines from different places on the internet world, along with commentary, interviews, and guests, all geared towards widening your perspective and guiding you in your own endless search for the truth. So come on over to TruthSeekersCast.com and join me here in the spider hole. Trust me, there is room for all seekers here, but no room for closed-mindedness.
People say they listen to anything. Many times that means that person ignores music, that they don't get offended by any sonic wallpaper. The Spartacus Roosevelt Hour is a weekly music podcast, and it's not for people who listen to anything. It's for people who listen to everything. Abstract, concrete, noisy, melodic, acoustic, electric, and electronic. The Spartacus Roosevelt Hour jumps genres and styles while carving out its own sonic headspace. The Spartacus Roosevelt Hour at SpartacusRoosevelt.com/podcasts. Where does music take you?